You are listening to Losing Weight with ADHD, the podcast to help you discover solutions to well-being, improved health, and sustainable weight loss with ADHD. If you're a woman with ADHD who is tired of trying every diet and weight loss program with no lasting success, I understand exactly where you are, and I want to help you to finally see the change you deserve. I'm your host, Jennifer Watts, an accountant turned nutrition and life coach with ADHD myself. Once I discovered the connections between ADHD and my lifelong struggle with weight, I was finally able to make lasting change in a way that felt great. If you want to do the same, then let's get started. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode that I'm recording on a Monday night. Go me. It's not Wednesday night. I did not leave it to the last minute. And I'm really excited about that. But this was kind of possible because I had this topic sort of rattling around in my head for a few days. I'm going to talk today about ADHD paralysis and how that factors into your weight loss journey, process, whatever you want to call it. But I actually kind of came upon this in a little bit of a roundabout way. I was actually meeting with one of my clients and she was talking about something called functional freeze. And I had never heard this before, so I was, you know, very curious about it. She told me a little bit more about it, and I was like, wow, that sounds really like a familiar state to me. So I looked a little bit further into it. And it's talking about freeze in the context of, you know, sort of fight, flight, freeze, fawn, those sort of responses, like physical responses, like I guess it would be nervous system related. But this functional freeze, I looked up the definition and it says that functional freeze is when we become numb to emotions, sensations, and needs as a result of overwhelm, chronic stress, or emotional exhaustion. Yeah, I know I have 100% felt that before. I can think, you know, to tougher times, especially with like really little kids or your job's really stressful or, you know, just kind of that becoming numb part of it. I'm like, wow, I feel like I'm really familiar with that. But when I started looking it up in the context of ADHD, I was just like, this really is, I think a lot of why I felt such a familiarity with that is because it's so closely, you know, I don't want to say mimics, but like kind of mimics, ADHD paralysis. So I really can see how that factors in to a weight loss journey. So I want to talk about that. I am going to cover what it is, you know, how it shows up, and then we'll talk about what it has to do with weight loss. And then we can discuss ways to move past it. I have a list of 10 ways that we can learn to move past it. So according to the ADD Association, ADHD paralysis happens when a person with ADHD is overwhelmed by their environment or the amount of information given. I remember that part of the definition, the amount of information given. As a result, they freeze and aren't able to think or function effectively. ADHD paralysis is not a medical diagnosis, but it still makes it challenging for the individual to focus and complete their tasks, including urgent ones. End quote. That's the extent of the quote from ADDA.org.com. I don't know. But see, like even right in the definition, it talks about the freeze. And so that's, you know, really where there's a lot of this overlap with that concept of functional freeze. And I think we can all, you know, think back to times where we've experienced this. I know like ADHD paralysis is a very real thing that happens to me. And like, I can think of periods in my life where it's been really prominent, but it also comes with, which I'll talk about later, a lot of that sort of shame because we think that we shouldn't be experiencing this or there's something wrong with us because we are. But anyhow, you know, this paralysis is often when you can't decide what to do, you don't know where to start, and you just like kind of can't, you're stuck. You cannot take action. And there's a whole list of how it might show up, which came, this all came from that, the ADD Association. I don't want to list them all out because there's a lot, and a lot of them just kind of overlap with other things. But some of the ones that really stick out to me is overthinking or overanalyzing problems, being unable to start a project even when it's high priority, being unable to maintain focus and being easily distracted, which sounds just like generally ADHD. difficulty making decisions, unable to listen actively, avoiding tasks requiring sustained focus, lack of clarity, so many things. But it just like the all of it seems like, well, somebody might say, isn't that just procrastination? But actually, no, it's not the same. And the biggest difference here is the information overload that I mentioned, like that I was saying, keep your eye on or keep your put a pin in that. I don't know. Remember that part where it talked about the amount of information given, because that is the biggest difference. It's the information overload that kind of leads us to shut down. And yeah, like I said, the shame that we put on ourselves because we think like we should be able to just do stuff. And that just makes it so much worse because you're kind of stuck. You're frozen with too much going on, you know, cognitively. You're overloaded. You're overwhelmed. And then you make, you know, feel bad about it because you're like, I just like literally can't do anything. So yeah, what does this have to do with weight loss? Because I know you probably can relate to this at some stage of your life, or it could have even been today. Like, yeah, I even told my husband before I came in here that I was going to be talking about this. And he's like, oh yeah, I experienced that like every day at about 9:30. But we do, we really do. Anyhow, back to this, what it has to do with weight loss. Really, like, I just think when you're stuck, you can't start. Like, when you are stuck in that overwhelm and you're frozen and you're paralyzed, it feels like impossible to take your first step. And that is what we really need to get that momentum, to get into action, just getting into action. It makes me think of, you know, Mel Robbins with her 5-4-3-2-1 thing. You're probably familiar with that, but just like, just do it, just do something, just get into some kind of action. And we really sometimes can feel like we truly cannot do that. And it feels pretty awful. And so, you know, how are you going to get going on a weight loss process or program or plan or whatever when you feel so overloaded with information that you can't move? And this is where it really can, you know, kind of affect you, is that there is so much information out there. And I think this is a lot of what I strive to do, is that I really want to, like, don't worry, I've got all the information for you. You can just come to me and I'll be a source for you. But like that overload, but like with so many options and so many things and so many different people telling you different things, it's so easy to just be like, forget it. This just makes me feel like it's too much, which it is. It's too much. So, you know, if we feel this overwhelm and we don't have like help or guidance or a course of action to like get into motion or get back into motion, like if we've kind of started something but we get to that frozen state, or we get kind of paralyzed because it's too much or we don't really know what to do, like especially if, you know, something goes off of whatever you've planned and you don't really know how to, you know, resolve that, then we just can't make progress. Or at least we feel like we can't make progress. We always can, but just when we have that block, it really feels impossible. And you're not crazy for feeling that way. Like, this is legitimately something that happens to us. So, but yeah, getting stuck in that shame cycle that I talked about, you know, it really, you know, I was going to say get a bee in my bonnet. I don't know. I was like, what's some expression to talk about, like, that it makes me real mad. I get really mad when, you know, when if we start to think like, well, if I really wanted it enough, I'd be able to just do it. But we can't make progress that way, right? Like, and it is not going to help to think that way. You know, we can't make positive changes when we're beating ourselves up. But it just, I really get angry thinking about people feeling this way because somebody who does not understand how your brain works, how you are neurologically wired, and that these are the different paths that you have to take if you want to reach your goal, you have to factor these things in. But somebody else who doesn't understand that tells you, you're just not trying hard enough. You're just like, you just don't have enough willpower. Ugh. Get out of here with that. It's not a problem of you not wanting it enough, okay? Let me just say that. Let me be the one to tell you that. That is not what's holding you back. You do deal with these things. But we don't want these things to prevent us from reaching our goals. But if we don't know that that's happening, how do we have a chance to, you know, acknowledge it and find a way to move past it? So this is me helping you to acknowledge that this is something that happens to you, and it's completely normal as somebody with ADHD. So, yeah, but rather than just thinking like, what's wrong with me, and thinking that it must be a you problem, I just want you to know that it is something that you can learn to work with. Another thing that I wanted to point out that I saw when I was, you know, sort of researching this online, I did see there was like this message board for like, I don't know how I got on here. It was a message board and there were like clinicians and therapists on there. But this one woman was saying how she was asking for advice from other people. But she was saying that, you know, when she has clients that are really trying to make changes with regards to their health, you know, especially those who like experience obesity, she was saying that those whose typical like stress response was fight or flight, she didn't really have a hard time with helping them, like assisting them, as compared to those who typically would go into the freeze response, like we talked about at the beginning. And she was just saying she was looking for guidance on how to help people who go into a freeze response who want to change their health, because she said they seem to struggle the most with self-care, with their eating patterns, and just with their weight overall. And there were quite a few people actually that responded that said, you know, acknowledging that this was like legitimately something that they had noticed. And a lot of them even from their own personal experience as people who, you know, went into the freeze response, that they did struggle with those things like self-care, eating patterns, their weight. And it was interesting seeing a few of them talk about nervous system work being a good way to try to work to resolve that. And I am not well versed in that, so I don't really want to go into that because I don't feel like I don't want to say I'm not licensed to talk about it, but I just don't know very much about it. I know there are amazing resources out there on nervous system stuff, polyvagal theory, all of that, but I'm not a good resource for that, so I'm going to stay out of that lane. But anyhow, there was another thing that I saw on Psych Central. Just like, this is just a way for me to reaffirm to you again that you are not crazy. But they were saying that when you live with ADHD, altered executive functioning related to planning and carrying out tasks may mean it's easier for you to feel overwhelmed, right? And I mean, we kind of know this, but the overwhelm is the key of what is leading us into that state of paralysis. So it kind of, even when it comes down to like the mundane parts of losing weight, not even just getting started, but just dealing with the, like the, all of the little things, like the small tasks can feel so daunting for us that you just want to avoid them altogether. And you'd rather do activities that actually, this is not consciously, by the way, you would want to, you know, your brain is going to veer towards the activities that are more stimulating or give you more like instant gratification, as opposed to the monotonous, mundane, daily parts of losing weight or, in, you know, improving your health where you don't really see anything from it. So it's just interesting to factor that in, that those little things can feel daunting to us, can contribute to that feeling of overwhelm, which can contribute to the feeling of paralysis that we get stuck in. So how do we move past this? Because we can. And throughout this, I keep coming back to this quote that I love, love, love from Carl Rogers. He was a psychologist. And I remind myself of this all the time, you guys. But he says, the quote is, "The curious paradox is that when I accept myself just as I am, then I can change." And I think about that all the time, because when we acknowledge things, when we accept things, when we become aware of them, and this is why this is such a big part of my process, if you know it's there, then you can see it for what it is and you can work with it and you can try to make change. But if you don't know that that's what's leading you to feel this way, then how can you, you know, pattern interrupt, right? So to me, that is the biggest part of moving past this, as with so many other things that we talk about, is just, you know, accepting that that's the way it is for you. And you just work differently. You're just going to work through it differently. It doesn't mean it's necessarily harder or worse or bad or anything. It's just different. Okay. So I have 10 things here, like, you know, aside from the whole quote that I just said, which is in its own, it's in its own class. And that really is the crux of everything to me, is just acceptance. But okay, let's talk about these 10 steps, or not 10 steps, 10, you know, different items that I came across. The first one, don't laugh, was forest bathing, which I don't know if you guys have ever heard of that. I love that term, but really, I mean, it's not exactly specifically forest bathing that you need to do, but just being in nature, getting outside of, getting, step away from the computer, step away from whatever you're trying to do, being in nature. I mean, it truly does impact us, but those types of things, like just, it has such an impact on our nervous systems. I'm guessing that's exactly what it is and why, you know, those people in that chat board that I don't know how I got into, we're talking about, you know, nervous system and polyvagal stuff, because like, if we can calm that part of ourselves, part of our systems, that helps to get us more regulated, which can help to reduce the overwhelm, which can help to, you know, kind of shake loose that paralysis. The second thing was making sure that you have simple and achievable tasks so you can get yourself wins along the way, which is kind of also like, you know, breaking things down into small parts. And I mean small, like, and don't let it make you feel silly about it. Like, it could just be, you know, if you're talking about coming up with a plan for, I don't know, how you're going to eat and what you're going to do. And, you know, no matter how far you have to go, it could be as simple of a task as getting a notebook out and sitting at your desk. Win. Check. You did it, right? Or putting on your workout clothes in the morning if you want to go for a walk or go for a run or do some strength training or something. You know, like, break it into achievable tasks. Get yourself those wins. Because those first teeny tiny steps are the things that are going to get you moving. Okay. Number three. Keep your schedule simple. Don't try to overload yourself with a million things, because all that's going to do is overwhelm, paralysis, right? Let's keep it simple. And like, really, even if you want to think about it more granularly, like when you're scheduling things, like, you know, just have it in a window. Don't say like, I'm going to do, I don't know. Everybody's different. I shouldn't really say this, because like, the way different people can schedule works for them and maybe not for others. Like, time, like even just the words time blocking, just like, ew, I don't want to do that. But like, keeping it simple in terms of like, you know, maybe these are the three tasks I'm going to achieve, or this is the thing I'm going to do as it relates to my weight loss. The one or two things that I'm putting on my schedule, keep it simple. However that works for you. Number four is rewards. Like, putting little treats in for yourself. It doesn't even have to be like treats in terms of like candy or something like that. But like, reward yourself when you do these things. Because like, developing that self-trust muscle when you like follow through on things that you say you're going to do, that is huge. And you have to reward yourself for that. So, you know, if you say, I'm going to eat vegetables with my dinner three times this week or something. I don't know. I'm just trying to make up a goal. And you do it, you reward yourself, whatever it is. Maybe it's like a special bath bomb you want to use, or maybe it's a, you know, I don't know. I don't know what your rewards would be or what your goals would be, but you reward yourself, okay? Number five is focusing on completion and not perfection. And I cannot say this enough. We are so naturally, like, we so easily fall into the trap of perfectionism or all or nothing thinking. And so if the goal is just to get to the end of something having done it, you just did it. You didn't do it perfectly. You just did it. That is the goal. Number six is taking breaks or moving your body. So this, to me, I think of this in terms of, like, this is more like, you know, maybe relates to like stuff you're doing at a desk or well, not even that. It's like when you're concentrating on something or something is like a big puzzle you're trying to solve or complex or whatever the case may be. So often just taking a break from something. That's why a lot of people do that Pomodoro method. Is that what it's called? Where you like make yourself take breaks every certain amount of time. Is so helpful. Like shifting your brain away from something. Even if it's like, do you guys remember? I talked about this in an episode like so long ago. It's something to do with like even averting your eyes to nature. Like if you say you're sitting at a desk and you have a window and like you work for a certain period of time and then you just take your eyes off the screen and just stare into nature of some sort or look at a plant or something, how that can be so helpful. But taking breaks from things like gives you, it's almost like a little clean sweep, give your brain a little refresher. And that can help to prevent you from going into that overwhelmed state. So that can be really helpful as a way to prevent slash move past the overwhelm state or the paralysis state. Where was I? Number seven. Yeah. Number seven is to keep things interesting. And I think this is a kind of a no-brainer as well. Like, if things are boring, we don't want to do them. And if they're boring, then they become that mundane thing we talked about, which can be daunting. And then we avoid. And then the avoidance is like another decision that we're making because it's kind of like that inner battle of like, I don't want to do this. I'm resisting. And that actually takes up energy. It takes up energy to do that kind of stuff. So then all of a sudden, what seems like really just avoiding a boring thing actually turns into overwhelm. I know it sounds silly, but it's so true. So if you can do what you can to keep things interesting, you're less likely to kind of fall into that cycle of leading yourself into overwhelm because things are boring. Number eight is to do things you love. And I don't think that's like too surprising either. You know, like thinking about, you know, even as it relates to movement, like if you're doing types of movement that you love and like you really enjoy, it's so much better in terms of like preventing you from getting into overwhelm than if it's like, okay, I'm going on a weight loss journey and I am going to go to the gym, even though I freaking hate it. and then all of a sudden you're just like, I hate everything and I don't want to do this and I'm frozen. So do things that you love. Not just as it relates to movement, but in the whole process of things. Even just talking about, like, when I was talking about the example of, like, sitting down with a notebook at your desk. Do things you love in terms of, like, buy a beautiful notebook. If you're like me, I love, like, pens, stationery, anything. Pens, pencils. Well, no, I don't really like pencils. But, like, a beautiful notebook with, like, the best paper with paired with, like, just the right pen. Mwah! Chef's kiss, as my daughter would say. That's, I mean, even that stuff as it relates to doing what you love, doing things you love. Okay. Number nine, be compassionate and aware that this is happening and why. And this is kind of like that quote that I talked about acceptance, but just remind yourself it's normal. It's normal. I knew I was going to feel this way. I knew this could happen to me. This is how my brain works sometimes. And then sometimes even just acknowledging it is enough to move you through it. And sometimes it's enough to fend it off before it gets too bad. But just being compassionate and aware, huge. Those things have huge impact. And number 10 is being around or in communication or like just surrounding yourself, even if it's one person or even if it's on the internet. But be in some kind of connection with others who are experiencing the same things as you. So that doesn't mean you have to like, you know, like I'm not a super social person. I don't want to go join some big group of people all the time or like talk to people all day, every day. But being with other people who get it, even if it's just like following accounts on Instagram or something that are going through the same things as you and you know that maybe they have ADHD and they get it, can make such a big difference and really kind of takes like that. I feel so much relief from that, that I know I'm not alone. And I'm sure this factors into that whole compassion thing because there's the like common humanity part of it, right? Like knowing there's others that get it. And this is why I created that membership, my membership called The Anchor that I've talked about on the last couple episodes, because this is just like, this is what I want for everybody, is to know you're not alone, to know there's nothing wrong with you, and to find a place where there's people that you can relate to. So I'm going to include that in the bottom, in the show notes. But yes, that's what number 10 is being around, being in connection with others who are experiencing the same thing as you, in whatever capacity makes sense for you. We are all different. So those are my 10 steps plus bonus quote on how to move past this. And I hope this all makes sense. I'm sure that it does, because I feel like there's very little chance that there's any of you who have not experienced ADHD paralysis, but I can never say it enough, but let me say it again. There is nothing wrong with you. You can figure out a way to achieve your goals that factors in and appreciates how your brain works and who you are and what type of person you are and what are the things that you enjoy. Because this is not meant to be a miserable journey. And that really is like, you know, the best way to peace and fulfillment and contentment is to enjoy the ride, right? And so, of course, you are entitled to that and you should have that. And I want that for you. So that's what I have for you today. I hope to hear from you. I hope you'll hear from me. But I hope you keep listening and enjoy the show. And always, as always, let me know if there's anything else that you guys want to hear about. And I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Losing Weight with ADHD podcast. If you are ready to make lasting change in your life, please head over to my Instagram at jenniferwatts.ca, where you can connect with me and find all the tools and tips you need. From there, you can also access my free guide of the Calm Method for Weight Loss with ADHD, or book a free call with me. I'd love to hear from you, so please reach out, especially if you have anything you would like to hear about on the show. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a 5-star review so the show can continue to spread this message. Until next time.